Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
We are in a study of the book of Proverbs. We began chapter 17 last week, and God willing, we'll complete that 17th chapter of the book of Proverbs in this lesson. And I want you to open up your Bibles and look at that location, Proverbs chapter 17, in a moment. We're going to begin with verse 15. And let me just simply say, by way of introduction, that many times translators take great liberty in how they render. They add words. Sometimes those words are placed in italicized so that we know that they're not original. But many times we find that words are added and there's no mention of the fact that they're put there based upon the translator's or the editor's desire. They do not appear in the original text. And we want to do something very different. We want to let God's word speak to us, and we want to maintain the integrity of the biblical texts. And that's why I look at it in the original language and I try to translate it in a most literal way, not adding, not taking liberties, but trying to be true to what the Word of God says. And again, I've said this many times in the last few weeks, that God is showing a distinction. He is making a dichotomy between those who walk in faith and those who are faithless. We see a big difference between how faith causes one to think, how faith causes one to speak, and of course, how faith causes one to behave. And we're going to see undeniably in this second part of chapter 17, and it's not just in this second part, but throughout the book of Proverbs, we're going to see how the truth of God impacts behavior. And we need to realize that although we are not saved by our works, that would be heresy. Nowhere in the scripture do we find that one is justified, reconciled to God, given victory by what he has done. We know the foundation of our faith, and that is we are saved, redeemed, reconciled eternally to God by what Messiah has done. For he is the Redeemer, and we are the redeemed through his grace and by means of his blood. Well, look with me to this first verse that we're going to study, chapter 17 of the book of Proverbs and verse 15, where it talks about things that are displeasing to God. Notice it says, matzdik resha. Now, in that word matzdik, we see the term to make righteous. We look at that, and it's in a unique grammatical construction. It is in a verbal stem that is causative. So here it says that one who makes, and tzaddik is the word righteous, a righteous one. Here it's a verb for making righteous, and it's pointing out that it is wrong. That's what we're going to learn. It's not good. It's not God's will to take a rasha, an evil one, a wicked one, and make him righteous, meaning justify him. We do not want to justify the wicked, nor do we, and we have a word for condemnation. And what we see here is that this word for condemnation means to acknowledge, to decree one is wicked. And it says here, we ought not want to take a righteous one and condemn him, or to speak that this righteous one is wicked. It says here that such behavior, what behavior? to call a wicked one righteous or to condemn a righteous one, what is it? It says, Tovat Hashem. It is an abomination of the Lord. And then it says, Gam Shneim, meaning also both of these. Both of these behaviors are an abomination to the Lord. Verse 16. Now, before we move on to this next verse, I want to share with you something. What verse 15 speaks of is going to become the reality in this world. When? Under the rule of the Antichrist. When he establishes what the Bible calls the beast, and a beast is an empire. When that empire comes into authority, and it will, it is going to take that which is wicked and justify it, and take the one who is righteous, righteous in God's eyes, doing the righteous work of God, and they are going to want to condemn that person. This is what we're going to see. This world is going to be full of abomination. This is what the scripture is telling us. Look now to verse 16. It says, why is this? And he's going to give us a situation. So why is this the case is what he's asking. That in the hand of a foolish one is the price to purchase wisdom. A foolish one isn't interested in the wisdom of God. So he says, why is this? Why is it that a foolish one has in his hand the price for acquiring wisdom? And here the word machir, it just doesn't mean a price like a payment, but what is required to obtain something. So it's like this one who is foolish is doing that which is required to obtain wisdom. And then it says at the end of this verse, Velev en, which means a heart or a thought he doesn't have, meaning he's not thinking about wisdom. He doesn't have, because he's a fool, he doesn't have the capacity to think in this way. So what we see here is something that is deceitful. He appears to desire wisdom, but because of his foolishness, he really doesn't. So it's an image of deceit. It is not someone who is acting sincerely, acting true. So we're coming upon an empire that these two things are going to be prevalent. One will give an appearance of something, but in reality, he's very, very different than that. Move on now to verse 17. At all times, a friend, literally the friend, wanting to specify, this is truly a friend. He meets the definition of a friend. And what does this friend do at all times? It says here, Ohev, he loves. Now, I've made mention to you that every time we see the Hebrew present tense, or some would say the Hebrew present participle, it's the same form, tends to have it this way. Jewish people call it the present. Christians call it the present participle. It doesn't matter the terms, it's that we recognize it and understand that every time that that construction appears in the text, it's to emphasize something. So the friend, a true friend, a person that meets the definition of a friend, he is going to love at all times. And then we're told, and a brother is born for trouble. Meaning, a friend loves you. That word can also be a form of like or endeared to. So a friend likes, he's endeared to you, but a brother, he is going to be there for adversity, for trouble, for difficult times. So a brother is closer. And as believers, we are fellow brothers and sisters. We have a closer relationship than just friends, because we are one. We are part of the same body as believers in the gospel. Now, verse 18. Adam chasar lev, a man that is short of a thought. meaning he doesn't ponder things, he doesn't think, he doesn't give consideration to what he ought. What does he do? It says here, tokea kaf, he shakes the hand. And in this agreement, this one who is lacking the ability to discern, he doesn't think thoroughly through a situation, he will enter into an agreement whereby, it says here, orev aruba, which means he will become surety before his friend, meaning he likes this person and he is going to be, because he's short-sighted, he's not thinking thoroughly, he is going to put himself in a situation where he becomes obligated for another. That's surety. Now, many times it's a financial obligation. But some of the rabbinical commentators point out, it is obligating yourself beyond what you should do in regard to others. Usually, obligating yourself in some type of legal relationship or contract. It says here, we don't want to do that, to be surety for others. The Bible speaks about that frequently. Look now to verse 19. Loving transgression, and it's the word, same word we talked about earlier, ohev, for loving in the present or the present participle. It describes an individual, that loves transgression. And such a person that loves transgression, you know what else he's going to love? We have the phrase ohev pesha, and that word pesha can also be a word for crime. So in Hebrew, the word for transgression and crime are the same. So the one who loves transgression or crime, he also, it says here, ohev matzah, which is to love what we could call discord or strife or division. So such a person who loves and he's committed to, and he finds pleasure in transgression and crime, he also loves this division and strife that comes between individuals. And then we see something else. It says, machbicha pitcho. This is an idiom. Now, again, oftentimes we see something, and if we take it literally, it speaks about an opening. And most Bibles will translate it a gate, but it's literally the entrance into one's dwelling place. It can be an opening, a gate into the city, but it's not the normal word for gate. A gate, sha'ar, when we have that word sha'ar in Hebrew, it usually relates to judgment where the elders sat. But this is a different word which speaks about usually one's household, his estate, his dwelling place, and the entrance to it. And then we have here, if you look at this, I mentioned the phrase makbiha, which is to lift up, to make high. So what it does is someone enters into your residence, and I'm not talking about into the home yet, but onto the grounds, onto your estate. And because you've lifted it up, meaning you've made it very ostentatious, you've made your place to dominate the surroundings, meaning being nicer, being more opulent, being more grandiose than others. And what it says here is when you want to set yourself above others, to say that I have more money, I have better tastes, I can purchase a better place to live than you. When you set yourself apart in this way by lifting up in a grandiose way your residence, notice what it says here. Mevakesh shaver, which means you are seeking a disaster or some type of conflict. So when we want to exalt ourselves, it doesn't end well. We are not called to exalt ourselves, to make other people look at us and we want them to say, wow, how impressive that person is, how wealthy that person is, what wonderful and splendor residence this person has. When we want to exalt self, the scripture is saying it doesn't end well. We are actually seeking, and this word can mean a break in the relationship, And this word for shaver can also mean like a disaster. So anyway, we don't want to exalt self. That is the conclusion. Look now to our next verse, verse 20. Ikesh lev. Now, many Bibles will translate the word ikesh as perverse, I believe. But if we look at it, it has to do, and we've come across this word in the book of Proverbs and in the book of Psalms before. It literally, in modern Hebrew, we would understand that as a stubborn heart. So if we read this carefully, it says a stubborn heart, meaning inflexible, you've got to have it your way, and you're going to put pressure upon others to do it your way. So a stubborn heart will not find good, meaning won't find the will of God. When we are stubborn in our desires, our wants, our beliefs, and we are inflexible to the revelation of God, we will not find His will. We will not be in His will. There's a principle. Being stubborn will take you out of the will of God. And then it says, Ve ne pach bish bil shono, which means a tongue that is turned upside down. Now, many would say here that this word has to do with something that is out of order, something that's perverse, something that is said, you speak in a way that is inappropriate. That's a simple understanding. And it says that such one who speaks in a perverse, inappropriate, in an improper way, he is going to fall into trouble. So we need to speak. Our words are important. So we need to speak. And in a kind, in a humble way, and an encouraging way. One of the things we see in the scripture is this. When one ministers discouragement, and discouragement comes from complaining. I truly want to share with you that complaining is not advantageous. Good things don't come from complaining. Now, we need, and I need to hear, constructive criticism. That's something totally different. But a complaining spirit sows discouragement. And therefore, what we see here in this scripture is that when one speaks in an inappropriate way, it is going to cause this one, it says, he will fall into evil. That's literally what it says. It's in the future, yipol. He will fall into evil. Verse 21. Now, it speaks here about, and it's also in the present, so it's emphasized. Kasil, what's kasil? A fool. We've encountered this word many times, both today and throughout our study of Proverbs. So a fool who is born, it says, for grief to him, meaning this. A person who is a fool, he is going to have in his life grief, sorrow. It's not going to go well. Now, what is a kasil? What is a fool? A fool rejects what he knows to be true. So he comes across scripture, and this is just an example. He knows what God says to do, and he knows what God says not to do. And a fool is one who what God says not to do, he does. And what God says to do, he won't do. This word kasil for fool is related to rebelliousness. And what it's simply saying here is this. When we rebel against the things of God, what he calls us to do, his purposes, his will, his character, his commandments, when we rebel against that, what are we going to find? We are going to find grief and sorrow. And then it says, and the father of a foolish one, that's a different word. It's not the word kasil, it's the word naval. And again, this is someone who is foolish and rejects truth. So a foolish one is going to, notice what the scripture says, a foolish one is not going to make glad his father. In other words, what the scripture is saying here is that this foolish one is going to be a source of grief, sorrow, disappointment to his father. It's where the father won't rejoice, the father won't be glad in his son if that son is behaving foolishly. Let's move on to verse 22. A glad heart will make good. Then it says, a glad heart makes good, and we have another word here. And this word is a word for healing. So a glad heart ministers healing. And there's a connection here between this word, and it's very unusual. I think it only appears right here. But when you do a extra biblical, what I mean is when you study this word outside the Bible, we find that it is a significant word, and it talks about that which is healing. This concept of healing means brings order. It puts things in an appropriate way. It is a word of restoration. So let's read this correctly where it says, look again at verse 22. A glad heart will make good healing, meaning it will be a catalyst. It will be a means to bring about a restoration, a healing. But then when we keep reading, it says, but a spirit of, and this next word can mean depression. So a spirit of depression is going to do something. It is going to dry out the bones. And this is an expression. To dry out the bones is a Hebrew idiom, which means to make weak. So notice, when a person is suffering from depression, it is going to weaken that person. Weaken that person physically, not going to be strong, not going to have energy, and also there's going to be a spirit of just giving up. He is not going to be able to endure, to persevere, or overcome. It's the Holy Spirit, not a spirit of depression, but a Holy Spirit that gives us that ability to press on. Look now to verse 23. It says here, it begins with the word shochad. Now, this is related to the word for a bribe. I think sometimes, perhaps it was in a different study, but that word is called a gift. It's not a gift, it is a bribe. We need to pay attention to the literalness of the text. So we see here, verse 23, a bribe from the chek. Now, I've made mention, chek is this part of the body. So a bribe, in essence, behind this part, meaning behind the back. So all of this is an idiom to say they're giving a bribe, but doing so, we would say today, under the table, in a covert, in a secret, in a hidden way. And then what the scripture is saying here is that a wicked one, he will receive that bribe behind the back. He'll gladly take it. And why does he take it? It says here, le'atot, orchot, mishpat, in order to, we could say, to distort, to pervert the ways of justice. So one takes a bribe, he's interested in that payoff, he's taking it in a secret way, in a covert way, behind the back, in order to pervert, to change the ways of justice. He's not interested in justice, he's interested in that bribe, and that bribe is, of course, something of wealth, something that has value, something that is going to cause him to fulfill his desires, and he's uninterested in the desires of God. When you are not committed to justice and righteousness, you're not going to be hearing from God. You're not going to be interested in the will of God. Verse 24. Now, here it speaks about the face, and it means this word, pane, face. You set your face. It's speaking about direction. So all it's trying to convey to us is that the one who has, and this is the word mevin, understanding, he understands. So one who understands, he is going to be in the direction of what? He is going to be in the direction of wisdom. He is going to set his face towards wisdom. But the eyes of a fool, that same word kasil, is going to be to the ends of the earth. Meaning, He looks beyond. He should be looking at something and seeing it, but he doesn't. He looks over it. He's at the horizons. He's not focused properly. So we see a principle here, a very important one. When you are not facing wisdom, meaning when you don't have a desire for wisdom, and what is the source of wisdom? This book. When you're not in this book, you're not going to be wise, and you're going to overlook the things that God would have you to see. And therefore, because you're not interested in wisdom, what's going to be the outcome? You are going to experience frustration. Those things that God has for you, that he wants to provide, you're going to overlook them. You're not going to have discernment. So it's telling us here, when we reject wisdom, when we're not committed to it, when we're not seeking it, we're going to make foolish decisions, and we're not going to have a godly perspective. We're going to be looking beyond where we should be looking. Well, verse 25. Now, some Bibles will translate this first word grief, but it's not grief. It's a stronger word. You know, grief is sorrow. This makes me so sad. This is not this word. It's the word ka'as, and ka'as is anger. So it's a more intense, a stronger word. What it says here, verse 25, anger is to his father. Who's the source of this anger that the father has? It says here, a son that's foolish, a foolish son. And then we have a word here for bitterness. This foolish son is also going to be bitterness to the one who bore him, which we would understand is the mother. So a son that is foolish. What's foolish? Rejecting the instructions of God. God convicts you. God shows you. This is true. This is my word. This is what I want. Someone says, I don't care. I'm going to do it my way. That's what the biblical word foolishness is all about. And it causes us to be a person that makes our mother bitter and makes our father angry. That's all the scripture's trying to say, that when we are a foolish individual, it is going to bring about anger and bitterness to our parents. Verse 26. I love the precision of what's said here. Verse 26. Gam onish la sadik lotov, which means also a punishment for a righteous one is not good. Meaning here, punishing the righteous is not God's will. The word good, I've said this many times, the word good is related to the will of God. So punishing a righteous person is not God's will. It is not good. And then it says, Leakot, this is to punish, but it's a different way of punishment. Onish is a punishment. It might be, for example, a fine. It might be incarceration. It might be a loss of privilege, something along those lines. That is an onish, a punishment. But this is a word which means to beat. And so it says here, let's read all the verse where it says, also, or even, that word gam can mean even a punishment for a righteous one is not good. And this would be the physical punishment, corporal or capital punishment too. And then we have a word, nidivim. Most Bibles will say princes, but it's a word for either noblemen or literally, if you do a good study of this word, it's rooted in generosity. So generous ones. So to punish physically, to beat, in other words, to lay blows, to smack, to hit a person who is generous. Why are they doing that? Because of his uprightness. Now, what it's saying is this. This generous one, he is giving, he's being generous. Why? He wants uprightness to be the outcome. The word yosher. Yosher can mean honesty, or that which is upright, that which is proper in God's eyes. Now, it comes from the Hebrew word yashar, which means straight, the straight way of God. And that straight way is also related to the word for the will of God. And if you look here in this text, we find, for example, the word tov, meaning God's will, and the word yosher, which is straight or upright. So God's will is upright. So when you apply the laws of Hebrew poetry, you can devise a principle, and that is God's will is upright. God's will is going to be very efficient. It'll keep you in the straight way where God wants you to be. Look now to verse 27. Chosek, this is to restrain, or it's the word to save something. You can use it for saving money or being frugal. And it says here, one who knows knowledge is going to save words, meaning a knowledgeable one doesn't have to talk and talk and talk in order to convey his point. And likewise, it says, one who is, most Bible will say, calm in spirit, but it's a word that has a precious spirit, a spirit of value, one that is honorable. So it says here, a one that has an honorable spirit, what does he have? He has understanding. So when you look at this, one has knowledge, and what's the outcome? He saves his word. He doesn't just speak and speak and speak. Likewise, a one who has a precious spirit, he also is a man of understanding. Well, let's go to our last verse, verse 28, and we'll conclude. It begins with the word, and this word is another of the synonyms for a foolish one. Now, it's rooted in someone who chooses that which is evil outside of God's will instead of God's will. He does it cognitively. He does it purposefully. So it says here, verse 28, also or even a fool, what does he do? He makes silent wisdom. He does not want wisdom to be spoken of, to be demonstrated. He is against wisdom. So he makes quiet the wise, we could say. The word chacham can mean a wise person. So someone who is wise is speaking. He's revealing truth. He's providing encouragement. He's giving direction, something good. This foolish one wants to quiet him down. He doesn't want wisdom to be taught. And it says here that one, notice this, one that is of wise lips or lips of understanding, it says here, he will close. What it says here, the word otem, which means to seal. So he will think that it's good to close or seal the lips, meaning not speak, one who is wise or understanding. It goes back to what we said earlier. A foolish one wants to do what? He wants to stop wisdom from being revealed. But one who understands, he doesn't have to speak a lot. He's able to convey truth very quickly in a few words. That's what we saw in verse 27. That's what's also being reminded in verse 28. So one that has knowledge, one that's wise, one that has understanding, he's able to share biblical truth and practical truth and wisdom and knowledge. He's able to do so concisely in a short matter of time in order that people are able to understand. And I've experienced when someone is truly knowledgeable in a subject and they share that, they're able to take something that is very difficult, something that is oftentimes confusing, something that goes beyond a person's ability to understand. That person who has real good knowledge and wisdom and understanding, they are able to make another understand it, grasp what the truth is in regard to that issue, that matter, whatever it might be. Well, I'll conclude with that. until next week when we begin a new chapter, chapter 18 of the book of Proverbs. Until then, shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.